Good morning, church. There we go. I guess I don't put it on often enough to learn how to use it. So as I was preparing for this week, I've entitled, we're going to go to John chapter 4 today. I've entitled the lesson, Jesus, the Soul Winner. John chapter 4 is kind of a portrait of Jesus as a soul winner. It's the story of the Samaritan woman where he stopped at the well. And we're going to read through that and just so each one of the Gospels ends with the Great Commission that tells the church to go and make disciples of all nations. I'm not going to look at every one of them, but since we're going to be in John chapter 4, we'll just start today as we back up to Luke, the end of Luke, see what Luke had to say about it. So because that's our commission, because it's stated in all the Gospels, obviously it's pretty important that we're also soul winners, that we're also reflect, I liked your analogy this morning, that we reflect Jesus Christ. We reflect His life and what He did. We're Christian means we're little Christs. We are to reflect, we're to look like Him, we're to act like Him. And so I wanted to look at how Jesus talked to the Samaritan woman. And so we'll get into that after we pray. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank You this morning for Your word. Thank You, Lord, that You've given each of us a task, Lord, and that we want to do it to the best of our abilities. Father, as we look at Your example this morning, I ask, Lord, that You'll give me wisdom to convey to the church what You're saying to us today. Father, just allow me to say only what You want me to. Lord, that we'll have ears to hear what You're saying to the church. Lord, that we'll put our feet to action and our hands to action. That we will reflect Your light. And we thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's go to, as I said, the end of Luke, chapter 24. And the last few verses are actually 45 through 49 say, then He opened their minds. So this is right after, right after the two men were on the road to Emmaus and they met Jesus on the road and talked to Him and he opened the scriptures to him. And then it said afterwards, he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. They had a little trouble. They did not recognize Jesus when they walked with Him. But after they had walked with Him, it says he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. And He told them, this is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in His name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And verse 48 and 49 says, you are witnesses of these things, so I'm going to send you what My Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Now, let's go over to John 4. It's pretty Jesus' example of witnessing and sharing your faith is really good here, because it's not like He went and stood on a street corner preaching, but He went and sat down at the well with the Samaritan woman who was despised by the Jews. And I actually went back and looked up, because I wonder, why was Samaria and the Samaritans, why were they so despised by the Jews? Well, if you go, I'm not going to go there, but if you go to, I didn't even write it down. First, it's back in 2 Kings. Yes, I did write it down. 2 Kings 17, 24 to 41. So, Assyria. The Assyrian king came and took into captivity part of the Israelites, one or two of the tribes of the Israelites. And so they took all of those people from the area, the region of Samaria, took them to Assyria, and they sent people from other colonies then back to Samaria to live there, to grow there, and to have their families there. And so that's why they were despised by the Jews, because they were not Christian people. They had their own gods. They had their own idols that they worshipped. And so they weren't part of the children of Israel. They were foreigners that were transferred into that country. And that's why they were despised by the Jews. And so if you want to read that story this afternoon, go back to 2 Kings 17, and you can see that story of how they were brought there by the king of Assyria. So the beginning in verse 1 of chapter 4, it says, "The Pharisees heard that Jesus was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, and although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. When the Lord learned of this, he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee." So those of you who have Bibles with pictures or with maps, Galilee is in the southern part of the area there where around Jerusalem. Jerusalem's in the southern part. It's where Judah, the tribe of Judah, started out. It was the area that Judah got, one of the tribes of Israel. And so he was going all the way to the north, up so down by the Dead Sea is where Jerusalem is. Galilee is up by the Sea of Galilee. And so he was going up there. The only way to get there without going through Samaria was to get on a boat and go out through the Mediterranean and up, or get on a boat and go up the river. The Jordan River flows all the way up through there. So both sides are covered with water. So he had to walk through Samaria to get there. Their mode of transportation at that time was walking. And it was around 100 miles. I scaled it out on my map this morning to see how far that he went for this journey, and it was about 100 miles. So take a little while to walk that. I don't know how many miles an hour you can walk if you're just casually walking along, but even if you walked 4 miles an hour, it's going to take a while. So he spent some time, and then we'll see here that he was on his way there. It says now in verse 4, "Now he had to go through Samaria, so he came to the town in Samaria called Sychar." Sychar was right at the lower edge of Samaria, and pretty close to the Jordan River. So just to give you a little bit of geographical area there. "Near the plot of ground that Jacob had given his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well, and it was about the sixth hour. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, 'Will you give me a drink?' His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, 'You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?' For Jews did not associate with Samaritans." And that's why I gave you that background, so you have an idea why they didn't associate, because they weren't part of their family or the children of Israel. They just weren't. And so she was just as used to being shunned by the Jews as ever. She knew that they didn't associate and do things together. And so she wondered, how can you, being a Jew, sit down here and ask me for a drink? Why did you even stop here? Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." When I started out reading this, I was planning on doing a message on the living water and the water of life and so forth, and Jesus took me in the direction of soul winning, because this whole dialogue, this whole example is about him winning people to Jesus Christ and making believers out of them. And the neat thing that I love about this is it's just him going through life, letting his light shine. And that's really what he wants us to do. That's what he wants us to do is be a light for him in everything that we do. Sir, the woman said, "You have nothing to draw with. The well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and his herds?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water that I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." So she took it literally. She said, I want some of that water because I don't want to have to keep coming to the well. So can you imagine a life where we didn't have water in our houses that was piped in? You had to go where somebody dug a well and drop the bucket down in, pull water up out every time you needed water. It's a little different than it is today. So she wanted this living water. She wanted water so she didn't get thirsty anymore. And he's talking about our spiritual life and the Holy Spirit and what that does for us. He told her, "Go call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands. The man you now have is not your husband. What you just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus declared, "Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know. We worship, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is a spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know that Messiah, which is called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." And then Jesus declared, "I who speak to you am he." So he made himself known to the Samaritan woman, a woman who was despised by the Jews, a woman who obviously wondered why he was even talking to her. She was so used to being looked down on and despised by the Jews, and she knew that Jesus was a Jew. And so she was, he finally told her who he was. He was the Messiah. He was the Christ. And the rest of the chapter then goes on and talks about the many people that were affected by this one encounter. And I want to just share some more of it with you here. Because not only did this woman believe, but some of the other people that lived around her believed as well. So he says in verse 27, "Just then his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with the woman. But no one asked, 'What do you want?' or 'Why are you talking with her?' So then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, 'Come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Christ?' They came out of the town and made their way toward him. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you don't know anything about." Then his disciples said to each other, "Could someone have brought him food?" It's always amazing to me that even the disciples were baffled sometimes by Jesus. And even though they walked with him and spent their lives with him, they still sometimes didn't understand what he was about, because when he told them his food wasn't really have food that you don't know about, he said. So they thought maybe that somebody had brought him food that he didn't know about. And he said, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say 4 months more and then the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now, the reaper draws his wages. Even now, he harvests the crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, 'One sows and another reaps,' is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor." Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me everything I ever did." So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. So because he took time to sit at the well and visit with the Samaritan woman, someone that the Jews despised, because he took that time, it says many believed. There was a lot of the town there at Sychar that believed as well as the woman. And he stayed there and talked with them and chatted with them and ministered to them for 2 more days before he went on his way. So they said to the woman, "We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world." So Jesus was just being himself. He was just going through his day like we do. So he talked about there in the beginning parts about the water, the living water in verse 10, and the springs of water welling up into eternal life there in verse 14. And I want to look at a few other verses that talk about the living water, because that's one of the things that we draw from, that we reflect from, and that we turn to. The Holy Spirit is the living water. And these verses, and just flip on over to John 7, if you would. John chapter 7. Verses 37-39. On the last and greatest day of the feast, so this is the feast of the Passover he's talking about here, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. So you remember the verses that talked about where Jesus said, "If I don't go," he said, I have to go to the Father, because if I don't go, he wouldn't be able to send the Holy Spirit to you. And so when he was talking to the woman at the well, he told her that they should in verse 14, "Whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." And then it talks about here, this that same spring that's flowing within us is the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that gives us the words to say, that gives us our life, our spiritual life comes from the Holy Spirit that lives within us. So we thank the Lord that His Spirit guides us, that He leads us in all that we do. I want to finish up today in Matthew chapter 5. So let's just turn back to Matthew 5. And it's talking about the light, about us being a light. We sing that song, "This Little Light of Mine, I'm Going to Let It Shine." And that's, I think, where this song came from. Here I'm in 6. I got to turn another one. There we go. Matthew 5, 14 through 16. "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." So we are the light of the world. We're the ones who are to take Jesus to the world, to the ones that we work with, to the ones that we meet on the way. Just imagine when the Holy Spirit tells you to take time to visit with someone, if you just actually take time and do it. You know, our lives are so busy. I don't know how many times I've said, "I don't have time for that. I go on my way." How many times have I missed what Jesus, what the Holy Spirit was telling me to do in a day? Matt's talked about it in his work. You know, there's times when you just take time, stop what you're doing, and take time just to reflect Jesus Christ with someone else. It's not like we have to just make it a, how should I say it, a time where we just go specifically to share Jesus with someone. So, and when I was younger, I went with a group to New York City. It was a bus ministry. They would go into the city, and we would minister to the people on the streets, to the homeless, to the beggars. We even ministered to panhandlers and people like that. But it was a good experience. It was a time when I set aside to go and minister to people, to try to witness to someone and have them come to a knowledge of Jesus Christ, to learn about Jesus Christ. That's not what happened here, and that's really not what Jesus is asking us to do all the time. Sometimes He will have us do that. It was something that changed my life. It made me into a soul winner, someone who wanted to bring others to the Lord Jesus Christ. And any of you who have ever been able to do that, it's one of the greatest joys in being a Christian, is to share your life with someone else and have them come to a knowledge of Jesus Christ, to change their life, to turn it around, and begin to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, that He did die for my sins, and He wants me as His child. That's a pretty awesome thing. One of the biggest joys that will happen as a Christian. So if you can see someone else's life change because of what you did. But I love this example that Jesus had here, because it's just about going on your way in life and letting your light shine for Jesus, letting them know that you're different, that there's something about you that is different, that you have the love of God in you and that you want to share it with the world. So as you go this week, let your light shine. Don't hide it under a bushel or under a bowl, it says in my version. But let your light shine. Just be a witness for Jesus, and allow Him to guide your life He'll show you who to sit and talk to, whether you keep on going with what you're doing. But there'll be a time that Jesus will have you stop what you're doing and do something for Him in the midst of your daily life, in the midst of your busyness. You'll have time to do. This Samaritan woman wasn't expecting a Jew to come and ask her for a drink at all. But it's what happened. And it not only changed her life, but it changed the lives of many people in that little town of Sychar there in Samaria. So as you go this week, think about that. If anyone needs prayer this morning, well, we'd love to pray with you. We'll have time for that as the girls come and bring the last song. So whatever you have, if you don't have anything at all, that's all right as well. And if you just want somebody to pray with you around you, you can do that as well. That's what the church is for, is to pray for one another. So you don't have to come up front. There's lots of prayer warriors sitting right beside you. So let's finish up.